For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. House of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, Yeshua the Bridegroom. This is part 4 of the series.
Next, when Yeshua died, they mocked him and laughed at him. Luke chapter 23, verse 35 and 36. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he's the Messiah, the Son of God, the Chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Next, they cast lot for Yeshua's garments. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Then said Yeshua, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, when we've just now seen the way in which Yeshua was led to the tree, the way in which he died on the tree, and how it parallels the penalties and the curses that were put upon Yeshua's bride because she was unfaithful to him, Yeshua identified with her sufferings, that Yeshua took upon himself her penalty and what deserved to be happened to her. So how does this happen? It is because Yeshua is married to his bride. And when you're married to someone, you're one with someone. When you're one with someone, that because of the interaction you have with them in sharing your life with that person, often when your spouse is having a good day, you're having a good day. When your spouse is having a bad day, it causes you to have a bad day as well. That when you're married with someone, you're one with that person. So let's see how this is the means by which Yeshua identified the sufferings of his bride. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 19, it says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. Isaiah chapter 63 verses 8 and 9, he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their savior. Who's their savior? It's Yeshua the Messiah. Isaiah 63 verse 9, in their affliction, he was afflicted. How in their affliction was he afflicted? Because Yeshua is one with his bride. In Psalm, in chapter 44, in verse 22, it says, yea, for your sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And so the nation of Israel is likened unto sheep that go to the slaughter. But in Acts chapter 8, verses 32 and 35, referring to Isaiah chapter 53, we can see that Yeshua is likened to a lamb that goes to the slaughter. It is written, Acts chapter 8, verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto them Yeshua. So in Psalm chapter 44, verse 22, the nation of Israel, the bride of Messiah, is likened to a sheep that goes to the slaughter. But in Acts, in chapter 8, verse 32, referring to Isaiah chapter 53, Yeshua is likened to a lamb that goes to the slaughter. How is this so? Once again, it is because Yeshua is one with his bride, and he identifies with her sufferings. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, we have outlined for us Torah marriage laws, and it is written there. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he's found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorce and give it into her hand and send her out of his house. So in the application of the verse here, we're going to associate it with Yeshua's marriage to his bride, that is the house of Jacob or the nation of Israel. And did he find some uncleanness in her? Yes, because she built the golden calf, she went in the promised land, went after other gods, and as a result, he kicked her out of his house. He sent her out of his house being the land of Israel. And the Assyrians took the northern kingdom captivity, and the Babylonians took the southern kingdom captivity. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 2. And when she has departed out of his house, she goes into exile, she may go and be another man's wife. It continues in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. But if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorce, in other words, if the Assyrians hated the northern kingdom, if the Babylonians hated the southern kingdom, and how did they express their hatred toward them? They didn't treat them well when they were in their countries and said, you need to leave our countries. So we see that the nation of Israel, particularly the Jewish people, the southern kingdom, the house of Judah, that in their history, they went from nation to nation. They initially went into a nation, was welcomed there, but then later was hated, and then had to flee from those nations. So that's the application here in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 3. If the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorce and gives it into her hand and sends her out of his house, kicks her out of her country, or if the latter husband died. Do we have the same Assyrian kingdom ruling and reigning that took the northern kingdom captivity? No. Do we have the same Babylonian kingdom that took the southern kingdom captivity? Are they ruling and reigning in the world today? No. What? Their dynasties, their kingdoms died. That if that is the case, verse 4, her former husband, now the former husband is going to refer to Yeshua the Messiah, the bridegroom, which originally sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after she was defiled, went after other gods, for that is an abomination before the Lord. So let's review Torah marriage laws from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. And this is why the only way that Yeshua could redeem his bride who is unfaithful to him and restore her, forgive her sins, is he needed to die. Because according to Torah marriage laws, if you're originally married, you get a divorce, and then you have another spouse and you divorce with that spouse, you cannot go back to your original spouse. You cannot remarry your first husband. So in the application of Yeshua, there was a marriage between Yeshua, the bridegroom, and his bride, the house of Jacob, the nation of Israel, but she went after other gods. She built the golden calf. When she went into the land of Israel, she worshiped Baal and Ashtoreth. And even when she got exiled in the nations of the world, she went after the gods of those lands. So in the application, she can't go back to her original husband. That is Yeshua. So the only way he can do this, restore the relationship, and not violate his own Torah, Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4, he had to die. Being cast into the nations of the world, being exiled in the nations of the world, this is a form of divorce. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, Leviticus 26, verse 33, I will scatter you among the heathen. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8, it is written, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I put her away and gave her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Now, Jeremiah poses a question to the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1, it is written, they say, if a man puts away his wife and she go from him, becomes another man's, shall he return unto her again? We just went over the scriptures in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. The answer is no. Shall not the land be greatly polluted or be an abomination? Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. The answer is yes. But it says here in Jeremiah chapter 3, you've played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, says the Lord. Lord. So the question is raised to cause the people to think, wait a second, we're guilty. We went after other gods. The Torah says that we can't return to our original husband. Yet our original husband, the God of Israel, says, return unto me. The question is posed so that the people would ask the question, now, how can that be so? And the answer to the question is, the only way that it can be so is if the bridegroom dies. And then from his death, renews the relationship. So there was a marriage between Yeshua the bridegroom and his bride, the house of Jacob, the nation of Israel, Mount Sinai. She went after other gods, built the golden calf, and went after Baal and Nishtarath in the land of Israel, and then went after other gods in the nations. But yet Jeremiah 3 says, return unto me. How is this going to be possible and not violate the Torah? The only way that Yeshua can redeem his adulterous wife who married other gods and was exiled in divorced and not violate his Torah is to die. This is what Paul understood in what he was explaining in Romans in chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the Torah, meaning know Torah marriage law, how that the Torah, because he's speaking about Torah marriage law, meaning the Torah or the explanation of a marriage between a husband and a wife, that those vows remain and have dominion over a man as long as he lives, or as long as both are living. For a woman which has a husband is bound by her vows, or bound by the Torah to her husband, so long as he lives. But if he dies, she's loosed from the marriage vows that she made to her husband that is passed away, and thus she is allowed to remarry again. So keeping this in mind, Paul goes on to explain in Romans chapter 7, verse 3, so then if her husband still lives and she's married to another man, that she can be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from the original vows that she made to him, so that if she remarries someone else, she's not an adulteress. And now Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law. Now, is Paul talking about no longer following the Torah? No. He's explaining the relationship of a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah to him as it relates to Torah marriage law. And so the explanation that Paul has given is because Yeshua died on the tree, the original vows that were made at Mount Sinai, and thus the consequences of those vows and the consequences of being unfaithful to those vows, that they no longer pertain to her once he dies. And in dying, he sheds his blood so that if she would repent of her sins, she could receive forgiveness of sins and the relationship could be renewed. And so this is why that through the death of Yeshua on the tree, we are told in Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 13, Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He died the death of the penalty of an adulterous woman. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And this is written in Deuteronomy in chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. It says in verse 23, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but you will bury him that day, for he that's hanged is accursed of God, that your land not be defiled. So Yeshua, by him taking upon himself the curses or the penalties of his adulterous bride, and also take upon himself the penalty of the sin of the whole world, that in doing so, he made provision to redeem us from the curse of the law. Not to redeem us from the law, but the curse of the law. And the curse of the law was being disobedient to the Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26. Cursed be he that confirms not all the words of the Torah to do them, and all the people shall say amen. And so if the bride of Messiah does not repent, then her curses remain upon her. But through the shed blood of Yeshua, if she repents of her sin, it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Scarlet meaning whoredom, white as snow being a virgin, your sins being forgiven. That the curses that was upon her that the penalty of those curses no longer apply because he died and he sheds his blood, and through the shedding of his blood offers her forgiveness of sin. That if she would repent of her sin, he will renew the relationship. And so when Yeshua died, he was resurrected. And when he resurrected as a new man. And the only way that you can marry this new man is and have a relationship with this new man, enter into covenant relationship with him, is you must go through his blood. And the way in which you go through his blood is you gotta repent of your sins. When you repent of your sins, you're repenting of what sin is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whoever commits sin transgresses the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. When you repent of your sin, you repent of transgressing the Torah. When you repent of transgressing the Torah, you are saying, I'm sorry for not following the Torah. Now I endeavor to follow the Torah. But to receive forgiveness for being disobedient, that's what the blood of Yeshua does. So Yeshua is going to receive one who repents of their sins, where then he's going to renew the relationship, that he is once again a bridegroom, and the one that repents is his bride. So he's going to renew the relationship. The new covenant is actually a renewing of the covenant at Mount Sinai. And the renewing of the covenant is based upon better promises, because the priesthood that oversees the restored, renewed relationship, Yeshua is a Melchizedek priest. And the blood that is pertains to this covenant is his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats. And in renewing the covenant, Yeshua gives his indwelling Holy Spirit to help her to be obedient to him this time and not go after other gods. And this is why Paul said in Romans in chapter 7 in verse 22, I delight in the Torah of God after the inward man. And in renewing the relationship, the bride of Messiah can do his will. And what is his will? His will is his Torah written upon her heart. In Psalm in chapter 40 and verse 7 and verse 8, it is written, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. I delight to do your will. What's his will? Your Torah is within my heart. And so that's what the renewed covenant is. It's the Torah being written upon our heart. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, it says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant, a renewed covenant in Hebrew, with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Verse 33, but this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my Torah in their inward part, and I will write it. I will write my Torah in their heart. I will be their God. They will be my people. So he writes the Torah upon our heart by his Holy Spirit. And in doing so, he gives us a new heart. He's going to take away the stony heart, which causes us to be rebellious, disobedient, break the covenant, not follow the Torah. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Now, when we repent of our sins, we are telling our flesh, who wants to control our lives and wants to do its own will, it wants to be disobedient to God. We're telling our flesh when we repent, don't do that anymore. We're telling our flesh, you die. And so the renewed relationship is between a resurrected bridegroom, that's Yeshua, and a resurrected bride. So the bride had to die to her flesh and be raised the newness of life through the Holy Spirit to have the life of Messiah, the life of her husband in her. So she is, you might say, spiritually resurrected. So the renewed covenant is a marriage between the resurrected bridegroom and a resurrected bride. And because she has forgiveness of sins, because she has his indwelling Holy Spirit, she is able to please him. And this this is the one that Messiah wants to dwell with for all eternity. Whenever you accept Yeshua as your Lord and Savior, you repent of your sins, you enter into a marriage relationship with him. And this marriage relationship is again a betrothal, but you physically dwell with him by pleasing him, which is John chapter 14, verse 15, loving him and keeping his commandments, doing his will so that you may rule and reign with him in his kingdom. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, because we rule and reign as kings and priests. Revelation in chapter 5 and verse 10. And ultimately, the bride will spend eternity in the presence of her bridegroom. That is his presence, his glory, and they will dwell together forever in the new Jerusalem, which is the city of the bride. And Revelation in chapter 21, verse 3, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is in the time of the new heavens and the new earth, Revelation 21, verse 1. So Revelation 21, verse 9, he said, come, let me show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain. This is Mount Zion. That's the heavenly Mount Zion. And he showed me the great city, Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And so Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light. So Yeshua is going to be dwelling with his bride for all eternity in the new Jerusalem. And this is the heart of the Messiah. He desires to have a bride who he can love, who will love him, and he can pour out his love upon her. But in order for that day to be realized, he first had to die on the tree to forgive her of her sins for being disobedient to the vows that were made at Mount Sinai. So Yeshua's death on the tree is the greatest love that he can show to his bride. And love serves, love lays down your life. So Yeshua showed the greatest love that the Torah can show. He showed that love to his bride. Yeshua laid down his life to redeem an adulterous wife whom he married at Mount Sinai, who pledged to keep his commandments. Instead of being a faithful wife and keeping his commandments, she worshiped other gods. Rather than seeing her die according to the letter of the law, Messiah chose to show abundant mercy toward her by shedding his blood on the tree to forgive her of her sins. In doing so, Messiah demonstrated to his adulterous wife his incomprehensible love for her, as well as his love for the entire world, because Yeshua died not only to restore and renew the relationship with his adulterous bride, the house of Jacob, but he died to forgive the sins of the whole world, John chapter 3, verse 16. Yeshua will dwell with his redeemed bride during the Messianic era, and she will also spend eternity with him in the heavenly Jerusalem. So Yeshua showed the greatest love that he could show his bride, and that is to show her his love that he has for her as expressed in the Torah. So remember always these words from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah ought himself to walk. That means to live our lives even as he walked. How did Yeshua walk or live his life? He followed the Torah of his father. Even so, he commanded those who believe on him in John chapter 14 verse 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments or follow his Torah.
Well, that's going to conclude part 4 of the series on the subject, Yeshua the Bridegroom. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.org. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.